It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 642. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on-demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at MikeTechShow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. We're going to talk a little bit later in the show about Instant House Call, and there's a good point I'm going to bring up. Tonight, few stories from the trenches and some problems that I've had to deal with, some real agonizing, annoying little things that I'm going to mention, and then a couple follow-up emails that I want to get to. So let's jump right in. I want to describe Windows 7 problems still. So I still got a lot of clients with Windows 7. One of my clients has a multi-user for four users of QuickBooks Pro 2016. They have Windows 7 Pro, and everybody has the same problem. All of a sudden, a week or so ago, nobody can send any emails. So I figured, I got the fix. I ran into this with Windows 10. We know all we got to do is do a full repair of Office. Nope, did that. No joy. We can't even go into the settings and make a change without QuickBooks crashing. So we weren't getting a MAPI error. We literally crashed. The only way someone can email something is create a PDF from QuickBooks as a separate file, have Outlook, and actually send it as an attachment. So they're not dead. It's just an annoyance. So I talked with today my bookkeeper, who's a QuickBooks expert, my CPA, who I work with a lot with clients, and we decided that what I'm going to do based on what they're seeing, it was probably a Windows 7 update, and we do not allow updates within QuickBooks. We tell everybody do not update because we got to make sure everybody updates at the same time. If user one updates, but user two doesn't, you get notified. They all have to be at the exact same version. So when you're in multi-user mode, you really got to worry about this. So what I am going to do is change everything by updating everything at the same time on Monday afternoon. So going to go to the client, make sure everything's updated, and then I'm going to cross my fingers and hope that that solves the problem. If it doesn't, I know I can contact QuickBooks through these pro advisors. So I'm going to call my bookkeeper and have him open a ticket because he pays for that unlimited support because he's a pro advisor for QuickBooks. So that's what I'm going to do. And then we're not done there on QuickBooks. So I'll follow up on what fixed this problem, but it definitely seems like a Windows 7 update broke this, some functionality within QuickBooks. Client today decided to go from single user QuickBooks 2016 to multi-user 2018. The one gotcha here is if you go multi-user, they're saving their QuickBooks data file on a Synology NAS. The problem if you go multi-user, you cannot do that. It has to be on a Windows system where you're sharing the file because of the QuickBooks database manager that must be running, and it's a Windows-based program. Now, you can run it on server, you can run it on any Windows operating system, but you want to make sure that if you're running the newer, like 2015 or higher, you want to make sure you're running Windows 10. Well, the accountant system is Windows 10, and we're going to run and it's already set up. Now I got to set up the backups tonight. Pull the file off of the Synology and now share it from that local machine because there's only two people. And then I now have to back up that machine. I'm going to have a backup program running every night that will back up the files and the directory to the Synology. And then the Synology has a backup to an external drive and a backup to the cloud. But then I'm also going to be backing up using the cloud-based backup software that we use for the company. That file is going to be backed up several places. This reminds me of another problem that we worked on, and it wasn't in my show notes, and it's about backups. I have a client with two laptops. They have a laptop in their office and a laptop at home. She uses Dropbox to share the files. And one file is an Excel spreadsheet that's very critical. Now, a couple weeks ago, about a week ago, she had a problem with her one laptop, and it actually died. And we had to open up the system and take the drive out and recover files. Even though everything's backed up, her main files are on Dropbox. Then that's backed up via Carbonite. This was all set up prior to me, but she's been happy. It's been working great. Occasionally, we might need a file that we pull from Carbonite, and it's worked. The problem, and I didn't know all the details until yesterday, she had a major problem while she was editing one of her critical Excel spreadsheets that she uses for inventory. This got corrupted somehow because the latest file on Dropbox was an older version of her file. She didn't have some updates that she thought she had. Upon going to Carbonite, which does do versions, and we were able to go back to three previous versions, they were all the same data. She's missing some data from the last couple weeks prior to the crash, but she was having this problem before the crash. So the crash isn't the total blame. I don't know what happened and what got confused between the syncing. Was something open and the other one wasn't? And I haven't unraveled the details to what caused the corruption and the problem. But here is where I'm getting to, and I need some advice. I'm not a big Dropbox user, but I believe she has the regular basic version. I want to do versioning within Dropbox. So I want her to be able to have multiple versions of those files within Dropbox. And I'm not sure how many versions it keeps. And I'm researching the business version of Dropbox. And that's what I'm going to have her go to. So this way we have multiple versions from stored at Dropbox. And then we still have our versioning and our backup of the files via Carbonite. So that's all the that's some of the backup stories. I want to get back to updates. When I talked about the Windows 7 breaking some stuff, Windows 10 updates continues to break more software. I think I've mentioned every show, the last few shows, of Windows 10 breaking things. So here's the latest that Windows 10 has broken. It has broken FPS accounting software. It won't even launch anymore. It was working in Windows 10. Fall Creators Update came. Goodbye. It's not working. So my client, I have to follow up with them. They are going to be talking to the software vendor to see there's got to be a fix. Time slips. Functionality within an older version of Time Slips that was working properly on Windows 10, Fall Creators Update came by, killed it. So now client has to upgrade to the latest version. They were hoping to save all that expense of upgrading, and now they have to upgrade. I think it's horrible. How many Windows 10 updates are breaking so many things? If you find things that it's broken that I haven't covered on the show, share your pain with me, and I will share it with the rest of the audience because I'm living and breathing the pain. And the updates, it's just horrible. And I don't want to go back because here's the problem with Windows 10. I can't just say, go back to the restore point before the update and then they're going to be fine. Well, you know what? The update's going to come again. We can't stop it. We can only pause it for 30 days or 35 days on the pro version of Windows 10. So we really can't stop the updates from coming. And you don't want to, because now you're torn between possible infections or possible corruption and problems with malware and different things if you don't have the latest, greatest in the updates and zero-day problems. So we want to keep the updates coming. We want to make sure that all the applications are working. And it's just every user cannot afford to be at the latest, greatest version of every application that they're running. They can't. Next week, I've got a couple systems where part of my quarterly maintenance is to make sure what's happening with all the systems. And over the holidays, for one of my biggest clients, my son and I attacked all of the desktops. There's like 40 desktops. And we made sure that we're examining everything that's happening on the systems. And we have two systems where the hard drives have too many smart errors. So what I'm doing is turning this into an upgrade. Rather than just replace the hard drive, clone it, and replace it with another mechanical drive, let's move forward. They only have 4 gigs of RAM. They're Windows 7. Let's put 8 gig in there while we are also cloning it to a solid-state drive. So this way, the user is going to be much more happy. It's going to be a better experience. If we're going to open it up and we're going to do something, let's do an upgrade. So we're doing that next week. I have 2 refurbished systems that are also being deployed at this client. So my son and I are going to be pretty busy on Tuesday and Wednesday next week, making sure all this stuff is done. Then at the same time, I'm also working on some training schedules for the client. So very nice. Have a lot of work with this one client. Something I've been seeing, and this is where I wanted to bring up Instant House Call, and a reason why you should really look at this. One of their biggest competitors, I have clients that still use that for their remote desk that they want to use to remote desktop in. Well, we've just been notified of the incredible rate increases for just a couple desktops for them to remote access. It's insane. Instant House Call is going to take over because of this. The prices are so outrageous. And when my client was notified, we talked, I said, I can create sub-accounts for Instant House Call, which I already have deployed on all your systems, how many accounts you need. When you buy Instant House Call, you can deploy sub-accounts for free, but you can charge your clients for that and use that as revenue generation. That's a great thing for deploying sub-accounts for Instant House Call. And my clients are going to save a lot of money. And I'm deploying more and more and more of the sub-accounts. You'll want to really take a look at that. What is your customer spending for their own remote access? And you may find that to be able to justify deploying Instant House Call. Something to think about. Wanted to share that with everybody. Let's get to some email. This is in response to my HP printer problem, which has a funny conclusion here that I will share after I read these 2 emails, and it's something my son is going back to that office to hook up. And I thought this was kind of funny. Terry from Arizona says, this is in response to you setting up an HP printer that did not have a display. When we have a new printer at the school district I work for, we have the printer get an IP from DHCP. Well, see, right there is my problem. Remember, there is no DHCP in this office. It can't pull an IP address. But I'm going to continue here. We print a configuration page and find out the IP. Then we use a web browser to connect to the printer via its IP. We then are able to enter a static IP and set it, the IP assignment to manual. That's what I do all the time on a typical deployment. I am like you. Sometimes I don't know how normal people can cope with the changes and slip-ups that Microsoft and Apple cause on computers. I also agree that testing of software is a lost art. Yes, it absolutely is. As always, the show is great because it deals with solutions to actual problems. Thanks for everything, Terry. And I replied back to Terry and said, what he suggests here is a great solution if you can get an IP address. We can't get an IP address. This is from Bob, longtime listener, and we have communicated several times in the past. I was listening to your show 641, where you were asking about a utility to configure HP printers. I've been using HP Jet Admin for years. You know, I forgot about Webjet Admin. I am now using their HP Webjet Admin utility. It allows you to remotely configure HP printers on your networks. With it, you can search by MAC or IP address. It also has a discovery option that looks for unconfigured printers on your network. Here is a link to their setup and installation guide. You have helped me numerous times over the years, so I am hoping to return the favor at least a little bit. Keep up the good work and keep doing what you are doing. Happy New Year, Bob from New Hampshire. Bob, thank you. I totally forgot about Webjet Admin, and I'm going to make sure that I always have this on my utility USB, and he has a link here to the manual for that, which I will put in the show notes. Great, great recommendation, because it's been such a problem with this one client, and I discussed how I solved it. Now, for the rest of the story, I can't make this stuff up. I get a text from my client today, this very same client. They needed a more advanced printer that can do scanning because this was just basic printing. So they went out and bought a printer. My son's going to go deploy that tomorrow. The first thing I said, can you send me the model? They sent me a picture of the model, and it's a Canon multifunction device. I looked it up. There is a display and there is an Ethernet port. So my son, Mike Jr., is going to be at that office, that temp office. He's going to wire it up. I armed him with the static IP address, and then it'll be installation as normal because we have a panel on the front of the printer that we're able to put the IP address. I am so glad my client bought a printer that we're going to be able to configure properly, and they didn't talk to us. With all the work and all the effort, again, this is another client that they just continue to go out and buy equipment that we then have to deal with later. And a lot of the time, it's the wrong configuration. It doesn't have the right settings. It doesn't have what we really need. But this one, there was an Ethernet port and a display. I was very happy because once he plugs that in, it will not get an IP address. But since we have all the static information, he'll be able to do it from the panel and then set it up. But remember our backup plan, connected via USB to the peer server that's there, share that to the little work group because it's only four other people, and then he can visit each desktop and set the printer up. Oh, printers, what an annoyance. And then tomorrow, before my son does that, there's a client calls. There's a big multifunction printer that is making a noise when it prints, and we're just not sure what he's going to walk into. So tomorrow he's doing a recon. I think that printer is under maintenance for another company that supplies it, for a printer company. So at least I hope. We're going to figure out what's going on. Michael's going to do an assessment of that. Then he's going to hit this other client for the printing. So lots of printing issues. Final email for the night. This is from Ben. Believe it or not, I was just listening to Tech Vets 139 and heard Carrie say your fix was too complicated. This is a fix for Windows 7 updates. And his was 100% it always works. Well, not for me. I'm stuck in the endless update loop on my Lenovo laptop, and no matter what I've tried over the last few weeks, has not worked. I cannot get Windows Update to work properly again. Something is corrupt somewhere, but I'll be darned if I can resolve this. Can you please send me the info you have, and I'll give it a try. I've searched the Mic Nation site, but can't find it. I'm really surprised because I searched my own site, and that's how I came up with the different links that I forwarded, Ben. You should be able to figure that out because I talked about Windows 7 update problems for a long, long time. I was very surprised that he couldn't find it, but I will put those links again in the show notes. I have a link to the magic 8 hot fixes that you have to apply, or at least in the past you had to apply, in order to get Windows 7 to work. You had to kind of kick it in the butt. This was when Windows 10 came out, and you had to update Windows 7 to the latest greatest in order to be able to do the upgrade. And Windows 7 updates were just constantly broken. It was just a mess. And several people tried different things, and that I tried, and it was a nightmare. I would try a fix, and it would work for a couple of weeks with different users, and then all of a sudden, that fix wouldn't work anymore. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what in the heck is going on here? And then there'd be other fixes that everybody shared. Everybody has an answer here. Carrie has one. I have one. Everybody's got an answer that works. But I will say this. I've had to redo some Windows 7 systems from scratch, and it's been great doing updates. I've had no issue lately with Windows 7 updates. But if you run into an update, I have a link to an article that links these 8 quick downloads that you can have, and you can sort them by the knowledge base number and execute them in order. Now, what I like to do when I'm doing this is pull the network adapter. Whenever in doubt, if you're having a lot of troubles with updates and you're going to apply certain fixes, unplug the network cable, apply them, reboot, and then plug the network cable back in, and then go check for updates. And I've had some luck with that. Also, you have to stop the update service and delete the contents of the software distribution folder. And I'm not sure the exact location, but I think it's in this article also. Yeah, there's a couple things that you can try, but you absolutely can get Windows updates running again. Want to take a moment to thank everybody who's been donating using my donation link in the show notes for the Mike Tech Show. I can really use your help. Please, whatever you can give, whatever you can do, use the donation button in the show notes to help keep the show active and going. I really appreciate your help, and I thank you. And please support Instant House Call. Go to instanthousecall.com, download, give it a try. You get a 15-day trial. Use the promo code Mike Tech Show. That's it. I'll be back next week, same time, same channel, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.